Bill, how are you doing today?
Doing okay. Doing all right.
Everything's going great. Doesn't seem like you haven't developed a new accent or anything over there.
No,
you didn't lose it in the last 3 or 4 days. Have to be obviously pleased with the outcome. Seemed to pull it all together on all three facets of the game.
Players really did a good job. You know, it was a tough week for us. Jets game was a real physical game, overtime game. Came back on Tuesday instead of Wednesday, so we pushed things ahead for the players, and they responded well. We had a good week of practice. Obviously, a big travel adjustment, but they handled that well, and thought we did a pretty solid job on Sunday.
From a coaching standpoint, I know you've done it before. You were there in 2009 and had great success in that game as well. But from a coaching standpoint and a playing standpoint, for that matter, what's the biggest adjustment playing a game in London?
Or the most difficult one? Yeah, just say the travel and just getting adjusted to the getting your body clock readjusted, getting some rest. Obviously, you know, the travel takes a little bit out of you physically, dehydrate you and all that. So I think just getting things back to normal. We seem like we kind of transitioned on Friday, and then Saturday seemed to be kind of a normal Saturday. And then of course we had the daylight savings time out there, and it was a 5 o'clock game. So it just, I think, really the real planning and just doing a good job by the players of thinking ahead, thinking about, you know, when to eat, when to sleep, when to get in the right rhythm and the right body clock to play a 5 o'clock game.
And how did you know, because I'm sure you, if I'm wrong, correct me on this, but maybe you went to your note from 2009 and said, we did this in 2009, we did this, this, and this, and we'll do it again. But how did you know how to do it the first time? Did you talk with teams who had been over there before? You just talk to your medical staff? I mean, how did you come up with the plan of how to deal with playing in London?
Well, we just researched it and looked at all of our needs and what we thought would be the best way to handle it. And I think the preparation is a big part of it. So being able to stay here in the comfort of our facilities, our training room, our weight room, our video facilities, everybody sleeping at home, staying at home, being a regular routine to get all the preparation done before we left, I thought that was an important part of it too. And then the travel and the time adjustment, I don't want to say it was minor, but I think that just is what it is. You just have to do it. But getting prepared for the game and having all your material available and in a way you can work efficiently, I think that was important too. So we remember the trip from 2009. We took some notes on that. There were some things that we did differently and things that we thought worked well and other things we thought we could improve on. So we made a couple minor changes this year.
Even with the difference in travel and the oddity of playing in London, was it still a good week of practice? Is that what translated into the game?
I think it was. I think it was a real good week of practice. We really talked to the players about the urgency of putting the Jet game behind us, forgetting about it, and moving on to St. Louis. And, of course, the fact that we had lost to Arizona and Seattle, two other NFC West teams that we really didn't know, and probably not knowing them well enough, cost us in both those games. Coaches and players, I mean, you know, we'd come up a point short. And that's the difference in the game. So somewhere along the line, so we really made that a priority for all of us, for the coaches and the players, to really buckle down and make sure that we did even more than we did in those games. Put more urgency on it, more preparation, and see if we could find something that would swing the difference in our favor this time.
How often do you see a direct correlation between that good week of practice and that type of execution in the game? Is it a given? Do you know when your team is going to perform at a high level like that? Can you always tell from the week of practice?
No, because as you know, Steve, some of the things you work on in practice don't come up in the game. Mm-hmm. They change their game plan. They do things a little bit differently. You have to make adjustments or you work on situations, but you can't work on every situation in football. There's a zillion of them, so you work on some of them. Some of those come up. Some of them don't. Sometimes there are new situations that come up. And so it's very unpredictable. But I do think the better prepared you are, the easier it is to adjust and the more likely you are to react quickly when you see something different if you're really well prepared. So, but You know, you can set things up in practice to be as good or as bad as you want them to be just by the way you structure practice. And I don't know that that necessarily correlates 100%, but I do think the overall preparation is important to the performance in the game. And, of course, nobody knows how the other team's practicing. You know how your team's practicing. It might be the greatest week of practice you've had all year. Their week of practice might have been better, or vice versa. You could have a crummy week of practice, but maybe on the other side of the fence, their week of practice was even worse with more distractions or whatever it happens to be. So it's hard to measure that.
We talked a lot last week, Bill, about Quinn and Long and their edge rushers. Seemed like Solder and Vollmer did a terrific job. But how much was your running game and the screen pass, the success of the screen pass, keeping them from really being a factor in the game?
Well, I think we had decent balance in the game, but in the end, you got to block them. And Sebastian and Nate did a real good job on those two guys. They got a little bit of help, but not much. Most of the time, they had them by themselves. And they did a real good job with them. But I think any time you can make a defender have to think about the running game, other types of plays besides drop back passes, screens, whatever it happens to be, draws, whatever it is, that it's got to slow them down just a split second because they have to honor it and have to respect it because they know you do it. So Josh and the offensive staff did a real good job of that. They had a good game plan. They mixed it up well. And Nate and Sebastian did a real good job blocking those two guys.
I know you gave credit to the players and all the coaches for the preparation and the execution in the game, but you mentioned Seattle and Arizona earlier, and you didn't know them well enough, and maybe that what resulted in a one-point loss in both games. How about Josh's experience last year with St. Louis? Do you think that was a major factor in the game, or was that a coincidence that he was there all of last year as a coordinator and knew their personnel?
We definitely talked to him about that, and I think he certainly provided some insight. But on the other hand, there's a lot of players there that weren't there last year. Some of the key ones were, of course, like Jackson and Bradford and guys like that. But, you know, there's quite a few new guys on the offensive line, you know, several new defensive players on the corner, Finnegan, Jenkins, Johnson, guys like that. So some of them were carryovers, and quite a few of them weren't.
Put some pressure on the quarterback. How much of that was you did send some other people at time, but how much of that was just your four-man rush?
Probably mostly four-man rush. I mean, we had a few times where we brought different combinations of guys. But
was more of that late in the game when you had the big lead?
No, I think we kind of tried to mix it the whole game.
When your offense is clicking like that, is there a tendency to I don't know how I would put it. Is there a tendency to go right back to what's working, or do you just stick with that game plan throughout the whole time? I know you have an idea of what you want to do and the flow of the game, but it seemed at some point like you couldn't miss offensively. Is the idea to just keep going back to what works, or to work the whole game plan?
I think we tried to work the whole game plan against the Rams. I don't think we just got into one personnel group or just a couple style of plays. I think we had a pretty good mix there, and that's what we wanted to try to do, was keep them off balance, both with our pace and our substitutions, multiple formations and different types of plays. In the end, I think our running game and our play-action game, although we had several different play actions, that those two things complemented each other well, and we were able to get some receivers pretty open on the play action passes. So that was good. And again, the big key for us, I think, was finishing in the red area, was being able to get the ball in the end zone, not making it a field goal game. We were able to put some distance between ourselves and the Rams with those touchdowns. And then, of course, the other big key in the game was when it was 21-7, and we stopped the fake field goal, scored right before the half, then got the ball to start the third quarter, had a couple big plays right off the bat, and scored there. So it went from being a 21-7 game to a 35-7 game with those two possessions at the end of the first half and beginning of the second half, which was that was a big swing for us, I mean, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you something else, but you mentioned a fake field goal. It was a big tip-off. I believe it was a 54-yard attempt. When you see attempts like that, a kid may have a strong leg, but 54-yard attempt in that situation, is that a tip-off to you that something might be up and to be alert for the fake? Or was it more of a formation thing where you looked at it and said, this doesn't seem quite right?
Well, I'd say the things that added up. I mean, first of all, 50. He's kicked 58, 60.
Right.
So 54 wasn't the distance wasn't the issue for Zuerlein on that one. I think the overall situation. 21 to 7. You know, field goal helps, but I think that was a situation where honestly we expected him to go for it because I want to say it was like 3rd and 15 or 17 or something like that. They picked up about 10 yards, got it to 4th and 5, 4th and 6, and just seemed like the field goal team got out there very quickly. And I was really expecting them to go for it at that point. So then, of course, we ended up with the two-minute warning, if I'm not mistaken, or a timeout, whatever it was. There was some stoppage of play there, and I think it was a two-minute warning. And so there's even more time, and it's kind of the more I talked to Coach O'Brien about it, and the more we thought about it, the more we said, you know, let's play the safe and make the guy kick it and not give up a play here. So it was pretty well defended, I thought. You know, we had the routes covered. Cole was right in there on the holder, and then Ebner finished him off. Dinkovic was out there in coverage. It looked like we had it, you know, fairly well defended.
What's your top priority in the bye week, you know, from a coaching standpoint? I mean, we talked to Vince earlier. Vince said get a lot of rest and get ready for the second half of the season. How about you?
I think we have a list of things to do, so we'll try to you know, put a little dent into all of them. We have issues with our team that we want to look at. We want to get a jump on some of our opponents. Certainly the health of our team is important. I think we need to make some decisions on in the second half of the season what, you know, direction we want to go on certain aspects of our team. So we'll consider all those things and take the time to really sit back and talk it out, think it through, and try to make the best decisions we can.
We were talking about this before you came down here. The trading deadline's been moved to the 8th week, and now it's been moved a couple of days. And I think fans probably would love to see lots of trading the way it happens in baseball. But isn't it different? If you acquire a hitter or a pitcher, he can fit into a baseball lineup like this. If you acquire a cornerback or a safety right now, how long does it take you before you can get him into your system, getting him understanding what you're doing, what he needs to do?
I think that's a big issue. Yeah, I think it's a big issue. How long does it take? I don't know. It would depend on the player and his familiarity with your system and his experience and so forth. But it's definitely an issue. I think if you were to trade for a player, that's one of the questions you'd have to ask is, all right, so we have 8 games left. How long would it be before he could really contribute at the level that we, you know, whatever you're trading for the guy, whatever level you think he's going to be at, how long would it take him to get to that level on your team, in your system? If it was a punter, that's one thing. You know, for it to be another position, knowing the calls and the adjustments and the terminology and all the situational things that could come up when they're in there, especially at this point in the season where teams have their full complement of plays and adjustments and variables and all that, that would be a... That's something you'd have to consider when you make the trade. Is when would you start to get the value? And if the price was low enough, maybe you can say, okay, well, we don't even care how much we get this year. This trade is really designed more for building of our team and next year. Or we're willing to trade the player to get a draft choice to play without this guy this year, but we know we're going to have this value, this draft choice next year. So, but again, overall, those trades are hard to make, and they're also hard to make because, like, a lot of teams are probably in the same boat as we are. There's a lot of guys that are banged up, and you say, okay, well, we'll get rid of this guy who's healthy and who can play. In the meantime, we've got a lot of guys that we're trying to manage for one reason or another, and it's hard to have an excess of those healthy, good players that you feel comfortable in giving up when you know that they'd be able to help you during the course of the year. So I wouldn't expect to see a lot of trading movement, but if it works for both teams, then it'd be a good trade.
Even in non-trading situations, in the past, you've picked up guys that you're familiar with, guys that have been in your system. Even the old days, we're picking up old Giant players or whatever. You're picking up guys that have been and understand what you're doing. Is that why you do it?
Well, sometimes, you know, but we've traded for the Ted Washingtons and the Corey Dillons and guys like that. And as always, some of those work out and some of them Some of them don't work out so well. But that's, I think the system and football is a little bit different, as you said, than, you know, a shortstop. I'll say it's pretty much a shortstop. Pitcher is pretty much a pitcher. But in football, the system and everything is, you know, plays a lot into that, into how effective the guy, the player would be in your system relative to playing in another system. And we've seen that many, many times through free agency, how players change teams, and they're really not the same player when they go to a different team in a lot of cases.
All right, Bill, now it's time for the Coach's Question of the Week. It's brought to you by your local Mercedes-Benz dealers and their complete lineup of 2013 models. On the web at mbusa.com, this week's question comes from Mike in Medford. Mike wants to know, what are your thoughts about the NFL having a team full-time in London?
Well, I don't know. There are a lot of logistics on that that would have to be considered by somebody a lot smarter than I am, a lot more experience in that. So I really don't know. In our case, two teams went from this country over to another country, so it was kind of the same for both teams, more or less. I think the schedule of a team that's that far away, I don't know, certainly a lot of things you'd have to look into. So that's probably a question for somebody who has a lot more experience with that than I do.
Be a good road trip for the Chargers, wouldn't it?
Yeah, would that
be a hell of a home field advantage for them, wouldn't it?
It's like putting a team in Hawaii.
Well, that's an easier sell, actually.
No, you can get away with it when it's the Pro Bowl and nobody cares who wins the game. You know, it's a little bit different when it's actually competitive and it counts in the standings. But they're working hard at it. I'll give them credit. They are working hard at it.
The Coach's Hour is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz and EMD Millipore.
Also by SBLI, the no-nonsense life insurance company, now offering new low rates for men and women. Call 888-GET-SBLI or visit SBLI.com for your free quote. Have a good week, Bill. We will talk about Buffalo next week. We'll see you then.
Yep, that sounds good, Glenn. Steve, Michael, appreciate it.
Have a good one,
Coach.
Just
wanted to say to all our listeners out there that on behalf of myself and the Patriots, a lot of you are wet and without power and so forth, and just hope that everybody comes through it safely and restores back to normalcy as soon as possible.
I'm going to ask you about
that. Your support.
I still don't have power, so I'm coming over to watch the game at your house tonight.
Okay, that's good.